Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. Now time for a very falling into dreams. I got nothing. I was thinking about this one for a good 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, I couldn't
Nightmare
think of
edition or daydream edition.
That's just no. But you don't daydream.
I mean, kinda.
Welcome to a very meet some friends and fall asleep edition of
weird.
Game Pass.
That seems very strange.
Pass.
Like, what are you doing?
The podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass to your friends and which games to maybe not pass on to your friends. I am Corey. I am joined by the man who doesn't like my intros.
I guess I'm like Bastard. Sleeping around with you, bro. Like, we can play some games.
I legitimately didn't even think about it and like that way until you just said that. Like, that's where we are. We are here to talk about Dreamscaper. But before that, did you know that you can rate us on iTunes and Spotify? All you have to do, just go on your podcast app, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, whatever. Pop that little review in. Just it helps out tremendously. I don't think you understand. The next person who leaves a review and calls out the Dreamscape review, I will buy you a pizza. That's
wow.
Simple. There you go, pizza. That's, Dream
I'm about to leave a
Scaper.
Review. Like, legit.
I know, oh, but I know your crap. Address.
You know my neighbor's
think of that,
address.
Did you? This is developed by Afterburner Games, known for Dreamscaper. This is their first and only game. A three-person team with a... I almost said a three-person team with a musician, as if he's not part of the team. And I don't know why my brain instantly went to, well, if you make music, you're not part of the team. I don't know why I did that. I apologize. This is a four-person team. Regularly priced at $24.99. It's an isometric roguelite game available on Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC. Cloud saves, they do not work between PC and Game Pass, as far as I could tell. There is no DLC, and there is no crossplay. Dreamscaper. Dream. Die, wake, repeat. Dreamscaper is an endlessly replayable action roguelike with a walking slash dreaming gameplay cycle. By night, delve deep into your subconscious, face nightmares in an ever-changing world filled with unique items, abilities, and challenges. By day, explore the city of Redhaven, build relationships, and unlock permanent upgrades in order to take on the next dream stronger than ever. Dreamscaper. Let's talk about it.
This game kind of caught me off guard a bit. I mean, on the surface, when you first boot it up, it definitely feels like, you know what I got? I got Death's Door vibes. If you like, it's one of those sort of Souls-like light games where it doesn't do a heck of a lot besides kind of die and repeat. And I thought that was pretty much the game itself. It's like it's going to be one of these simple, press A to hit, press this button to dodge sometimes and call it a day type of games with no real, I don't know, with no real meat on the bones, no real tactics beyond that. However, I was pleasantly surprised by everything you do on top of the combat. Like this team really put some thought behind what this game does when you're not hitting things, and that definitely impressed me.
Yeah, I knew nothing about this game. I simply had saw the title when they did the Game Pass drop on Twitter. That's usually where I find out Game Pass stuff is coming. And I looked at the game, and it really didn't. It did not showcase the out of gameplay or out of action gameplay. Gameplay, I guess. And so, like, I had seen this as like, oh, just like a cool looking isometric beat 'em up kind of thing. I was like, oh, all right, that looks neat. I want to check that out. And that's sort of right where I stopped in and popped in. And but no, I'm with you. And I really didn't think I was going to care about the out of action gameplay, but it surprised me. And like it, I have a love hate relationship with all of that. Absolutely. Outside of it. But even the action gameplay, I'm much more stronger than I am negative on. But no, I'm with you in that. Like, I expected a decent game, but I think what is here is actually a very strong game coming off of the success of Hades. And I think it actually is the closest thing to sort of look at Hades' formula and DNA and actually create something that's very, very clearly derivative of it, but it does it in its own way.
Absolutely. I mean, let's just talk about the combat real quick. I really expected a very simplistic combat, and it's not super deep or anything, but at the same time, there are so many weapons and power-ups and combinations of weapons and power-ups that it does that thing that I love in these type of games, especially where on a good run, you can have a pretty OP build. Like, there are some runs where I'm just like, I cannot be touched because I just got the perfect layout here. And It does that thing as well, where as you unlock more weapons and shields and arrows and bows and abilities, you can start creating your own custom kit for each time you jump into a dream world. So like, you're not even starting off randomly anymore. You're starting off with your best weapons, your best abilities, and it's just, and it just adds to that feeling of, I need to do another run. I'm all like just one more run, and then it's like 2 a.m.
Yeah, it definitely has that, like, that you're in the middle of a run and you die or you know, you just don't get a good start sometimes, you know, because it is a randomized thing, and it as you keep going down the dream or you're diving deeper into the dream, like, You do get the whole fighting bosses you've already fought, but you want to power up, you get power ups, etc. And then you get that, just like, oh, like I got to this boss and I was being too aggressive, and I know how to beat this boss, but I was just being stupid. So I got to do one more run kind of thing. Or the first time you get to a boss and it just wipes the floor with you because it's the first time you've seen it kind of thing. And then you're like, okay, like I can beat this boss. Like I know what I'm doing. And now I've got more power. And so, like, I'm not only can I beat him, but I'm more powerful now. So I need to dive back in kind of thing. I agree. Like, I definitely fell into that loop, and I didn't really anticipate falling into it. And that's a good thing. And I have my issues with it, but I will state those later, because I think moving into the non-gameplay, you know, the more cityscape gameplay. The game has a really unique art style, and it reminds me of a game called Ashen that was also a Game Pass game back in the day, where like nobody has faces, but it still looks okay.
Yeah, it's not super creepy. Like at first I thought like this is a little bit strange, but then I think the music helps a lot to make it not be weird, because the music is it. There are no bangers, but for this type of game, it really does add to the overall ambiance and feel of it.
Yeah, like earlier I said, the musician doesn't count. I'm dead wrong.
It's like the kicker of the because, football team. Like you said. Really need you?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, totally. No. No, I agree. Yeah, the music, I think there actually are a couple bangers in there. But it is not the action-based stuff. It is the more nuanced sort of background music. I think there's some really good stuff in there. But yeah, so you play as a character, and she's, her name's Cassidy, and she's sort of
I believe she's new in town, right?
She's new in town, but you also kind of get the vibe that like this isn't her first time being new in town. And I don't know if it ever actually explicitly tells you that, but yeah, so she's new in town and she just kind of wants to meet people. But she's clearly suffering from some type of, you know, psychotraumatic instance or, and that's kind of what the story of the game is. And that's why when you're diving into your dreams, you're sort of confronting your past or and you're finding memories, and it's got a story there that's actually compelling isn't the right word, because I don't think it's like, it's not a mystery novel. Like you're not going to get to the end and have a big, you know, reveal, but it really is just, you're just learning more about the character.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the story actually, like, there's a it makes sense that the story influence, and it makes sense in a way where the story influences the gameplay, because with her being new in town and battling her dreams or herself, if you will, she gets stronger the more connections she makes in the real world when she's not dreaming, when she's not in bed, right. When she's not being depressed, if you will, like when she's out there and again. The outside world stuff isn't super deep. It's not this crazy gameplay experience. You're creating gifts, getting to know people, and getting to know what their preferred gifts are. It's basic, but it's something cool that adds to not only gameplay experience, but a reason for why it's in a gameplay experience. Because now she's making friends, and when you make these friends, these connections, they give you strength. They give you extra. You can pick a loadout, if you will. Like, you can pick a friend to go with you into they're not really there, like, physically, but spiritually or emotionally there with you. And they add to your DPS, your defense, your magic defense, your magic output. Like, it depends on which friend you want to equip going into that dream. So the higher your relationship with that person, the stronger you are. And it's one of those things that a lot of games have tried to do in some way, shape, or form in the past, and it just seems added on, attacked on. Where now, like in Dreamscaper, for me, it truly feels like it's ingrained in the gameplay. Like it all kind of works together.
Yeah, I mean that it truly is simply the fact that like everybody's human. That's not what I wanted to say. Everyone has emotions, you know, like a human, and getting emotion out in a video game is extremely hard to do. I mean, there's very few studios that have done it well. I mean, think about all the games that like truly got an emotional response from you. And this game is, again, like, it's not going to end and you're not going to like suddenly have an enlightening experience, but everybody has that feeling of sort of wanting a deeper connection with somebody. And I really don't know how they do it. But they do it. Like, it's a combination of the dialogue. It's a combination of the gameplay of sort of you. Not only do you want to learn more about these people because they're just genuinely good written characters for the most part. There's a couple I'm not, but whatever, that's people, right? Some people you just don't like. But it's the writing and it is the fact that, like, if I go talk to this person, they've got a skill that I want to improve. So I'm going to sort of force myself to talk to them. So it really forces you to engage, but it's when you engage, you don't feel like you're just engaging to engage. And that's impressive in many ways. You know, that's something that when I started this game, I just did not anticipate at all. I do wish there was, you know, to sort of pivot into my issues with the game. Well, I guess I'm not really ready for that. So I do want to talk a little bit more about the combat and stuff, because I think it's super strong. Also, I think it's stylized and it looks extremely good. I don't think this is a game that's kind of the opposite of a lot of games these days, where it looks so much better in motion. I don't know what they're doing with the art style and the engine, but it in motion, it flows and it looks awesome. And in still frames, it looks okay. But in motion, it looks
crazy. Yeah, they do little things here and there, like with the animations, like you can slam enemies into walls and stuff, like they interact with the world. So it's like you don't really feel like it doesn't feel so floaty and kind of like an afterthought. Like everything, like The combat when you're swinging hammers or swords, like, they have some weight to them. Your dodges aren't just strictly dodges. Sometimes she does a flip depending on which kind of dodge ability you have. Sometimes she does a sprint or a skirt or a slide or a flip or like whatever you pick up, whatever you equip changes not just how you play, but how it looks when you play. It's for a team of four people, the only bracket you really use is impressive.
Yeah, and again, like, that's when I found out it was only four people, I was kind of shocked just because it looks good. Like, it doesn't feel like a game that made compromises. Like, it just doesn't feel that way, which is unfortunately sometimes you can just feel it, you know, like you can just see it. And I'm sure there are maybe the fact that they don't really have faces, you know, maybe that's part of it. You know, you don't have to design that, but they were able to take their weaknesses and hide them. Basically, they were not, you don't have to look at it and feel like it's budget, I guess. There's also plenty of different enemy types. Like, each area has its own distinct, theme. You know, there's six different levels and they each have their own theme that are extremely strong. You're not going to get confused where you are. And there's a lot of art in it and it's got a very distinct style and it looks cool. Like, it looks like you're in a dream. Like, that's literally what it looks like. And so, I mean, not the Sega game. It's not that kind of dream.
I wouldn't be against that, by the way. Do that.
There should be a unique, like a secret level. Like Diablo has the cow world, they should have the dream world. Sega, make it happen. But yeah, so it does all that good. Great. And it's got that deep combat. It's not Devil May Cry level, but it is definitely Hades level. Like, you've got your weapon and you've got your combos. And as you're talking to people, like, you get, oh, I'm going to hit harder or I'm going to have more magic because you do have a ranged weapon. So it's got everything that you want in it. It's just good. Like, I don't know what to say.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't have a lot of super negative things like to say about the game. Like the shortcomings in this game are almost like natural shortcomings. It's not like I don't feel like they're just incredibly wrong choices. It's just something that just didn't come out the oven completely perfectly baked. I mean, this is one of those runners where I can just jump back in each time and just try to get a better and better score and just get deeper and deeper in the dreams. I mean, it's I truly appreciate when people take a stab at a popular genre and do more than the bare basic of what makes that genre. Dreamscaper definitely kind of puts its own unique spin on the runner or the souls. Like, I mean, like, it definitely feels like every aspect of the world makes sense. Like, I mean, I think of games like that I liked, even like The Surge 2 specifically, but like the Surge franchise in general, like or any souls, like, or any runner, a lot of times you play, you die, you come back to life, and like they don't really explain why you're this immortal being. Like, it's not that it doesn't bother a lot of people for obvious reasons, but even in Dark Souls, it's like they explain why you die and come back to life, or why you say spirit, or why, or what a hollow is, or why the bonfire brings you back. But a lot of these games simply, like, you know what a runner, you know what a Souls like is, you know what a rogue like is. We're not going to address that. Whereas like this game, Dreamscaper, really kind of explains like why things are. Explains the world like I believe this world exists. Like they really put some thought process into like why things are as they are.
Yeah, it has a theme, and it's one of the few times where I feel like the theme is fully realized. Granted, the theme is not particularly difficult. That's not what I want to say. Like, because it's sort of a real world thing, like half of it is they just had to create environments to where you're meeting different people. But what I mean is like the themes all fit the story as well as the characters and the world that it creates. You know, each one has its own distinct, theme and area. And then also all of the memories and stuff that you're finding as you're sort of building toward this character. Like Hades was the game that made a runner make sense, because a lot of times you're playing a runner just to play it, which is fine. Like, you know, we are gameplay first people. That's probably why runners and roguelites speak with us, because they're usually gameplay first. But Hades was that game that made it make sense. And this is the first time since I've played Hades to where I'm like, this actually makes sense. Like, why is this person diving deeper into the dreams? And why are they getting stronger? Why are they, et cetera, et cetera? And they thought about this as well. And all of that makes sense. Like, it makes sense you're getting stronger in your dreams because of what you're doing outside of the world. And it makes sense that you're getting stronger outside the world because of what you're doing inside the world. Whether it's not just fighting, but it's also remembering things and unlocking things that would make sense. So, and that's really cool. Like, that's... more things need to do that.
Right.
More runners need to do that. Yeah. Like, you can't just be a runner. Like, you can, but... it's amazing that a team of four people were able to do this. So my issues with it are that I want to preface this, like, they're not game breaking by any mean, but there's some of the, what was that? Jesus. Someone just screamed. Christ. Oh yeah.
All right. Hold on.
That was just, no, it's fine. It's just, oh yeah.
You have a fan, clearly.
Clearly. I might even
you shut the door up a little bit. Be right back. All right, this is gonna be interesting. All right.
So I don't love the menus. I think the menus kind of suck. I just remember trying to like navigate and upgrade because it's got upgrades and you upgrade your weapon, and it's got sort of a system where it's like, okay, we're going to start you with this one weapon that's like a sword, and each weapon sort of does its own thing. Some are close combat, some are heavier, some are light, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, okay, I want you to use this weapon, and then you're going to master it, which you're going to unlock this ability. But anytime it comes to like changing abilities or modifying your run, because it does the same thing that Hades does, in where it doesn't give you everything at the beginning. It waits for you to die a couple times before it starts rolling stuff out. And honestly, I kind of wish that it would do it faster, because you don't even unlock like difficulty settings and modifiers, I think, until you beat the second boss. It might be the first boss, but it takes a little while. But then they also give you those abilities, or the ability to sort of pick your starting weapon, or at least narrow down what can happen to your starting weapon. And I just think like all that stuff is... it's kind of cumbersome, and it's kind of difficult to use, because you're kind of hopping into menu into menu into menu, and that sort of escalates, but is sort of mimicked in the quote real world, because there's, like you said, you're getting currency to make items for your friends, and the whole reason for this is that you're supposed to listen to the stories and then pair the item with that person. But it is extremely difficult, unless you've got a notebook next to you, to navigate those menus, because it does the thing. Like, as you're talking to it, it's like you've got a notebook that's going to keep exactly. It's like, this person said they like bagels, so maybe you'll make them an item that has to do with bagels. But getting to that information is extremely cumbersome. I felt like I was in way too many menus, and I was like, you know what? I'm kind of over this. Like, I'm just going to hand him whatever, and if he doesn't like it, oh well. Like I don't really care, kind of thing. Again, it's not a huge thing, but it was enough that like it stuck out in my mind, and it kind of drove me nuts.
Yeah, so building off what you said, I completely agree with certain aspects of especially the menu and how the progression system works. It is very much tied to that idea of, we'll give you the really cool stuff as you progress through the game, which is, you know what, that's fine, that's fair. However, it does create for a, I guess, more punishing than it needs to be experienced, or rather a more elongated experience, because I think you're right. You don't get certain upgrades and such until after the second or third boss battle. I do like how you can, the further you progress during in the dreams, you can start altering even the layout of the procedural dungeons that you get into. However, that slow drip of, and now here's a new ability, or now here's a new skill you can modify. I agree. I don't like that in this game. I don't like that in general. That's definitely something that I disagree on game design wise. The menus do leave a lot to be worked with, because I remember probably by the end of my play, I avoided the menu as much as possible, just because it's like, I'm going to switch my character who's giving me a power up, and that's about it. I don't want to see anything else, because it seems like a lot of lists and just nonsense.
It's hard to navigate. Like it genuinely is hard to navigate. Like, there's like six different tabs, and there's a ton of information.
And a lot of information you don't need. Like a ton. I don't think. Like generally, right. You don't need it.
Well, it can aid you, but it's one of those things where like it sounds like a first world problems kind of thing of just like, oh man, you got to read a little bit. It's just like, sure, that's a fair argument. Like, I got to read a little bit, but like, we have the technology. Like, we can make it so that way. Like, if you're going to go out of my way to like purposely be like, hey, I put this in your journal that this person likes bagels, like, that information needs to be more readily available,
right,
when I'm crafting.
Right.
Or when I'm about to hand something over. If I'm about to hand something over, like, after you do it the first time, it's like, oh, hey, like, it gives you a little picture of this person saying, like, hey, this person liked that. And I'm just like, just tell me. If I'm about to give this person a bagel and they don't like the bagel, like, then just don't let me give them the bagel.
Like, streamline it a bit. Like gamify it up, if you will, because the gift giving process in any of these games are just like that. You make a bunch of gifts and you're trying to build rapport, and then they don't like the gift. And it's like, well, I didn't know you don't like the gift. Like, you didn't read the journal. Like, what? That part was. It shows what he likes in the journal, but it doesn't show what he doesn't like. And that's even if it shows anything in the journal the first time you talk to them or the first time you meet them. So, like, no, I completely agree. There are some things that they definitely could have streamlined, if you will.
It's not a deal breaker by any means. Because a lot of that side stuff, it's important, but it's the main thing that's important is your skills in the game. Like, you know, it's an 80-20 divide of how much you need to pay attention to it. So, and it does also have the, which I always like, it's got the, hey, every time I die, like, make my resistances higher mode. So that way you don't feel like you're just never progressing. I'm a big fan of that mode. I turn it off after a little while, but my first couple runs, I did it with Hades as well. Like, I turn it on just so that way, like, I can get a feel of everything. So I don't feel like I'm getting that Dark Souls style of just like, this game is just beating me down relentlessly, and I'm kind of annoyed with it.
The game is not like, here to beat you down either. Like, it wants you to get to the end.
It's not easy though.
But it wants you to get to the end and wants you to experience her growth. Exactly. It's definitely pushing you down. It's definitely pushing you toward the end there. But like the issues that this game has, and it does have some issues, it's really not, it's like you said, it's not game break. It's just quality of life improvements. And I think it's things they will learn from and just improve on for the next adventure. Like, I would really like to see where this team goes with anything. I mean, I don't know if I want to see another runner, but I mean, if they got the time and the resources to really amp up that gameplay, that combat, then I'll be right there, ready to play it.
Yeah, no, it's a game that I expected to, like, just from the look of it, I was like, this is probably going to be cool, like, and up my alley. And then when we played it, I was like, this is really cool. Like, I did not expect this. Like, this is what this show is for. It's to find these games, put the library to the test, and play the good stuff. So when it comes to Dreamscaper on this show, Game Pass or Pass, I think it's pretty clear we're in agreement here. We're going to pass on this one.
There you go.
Pass it on. I will never get that right. Pass it on to a friend. Have some fun with it, and just have a grand old time with it. It's a good game.
Fall asleep with some friends.
Yeah, that's
Jesus Christ.
Sure, totally. Hopefully you're sober. I don't know. I got nothing. Dreamscaper. Play it. Have some fun with it. When it comes to the future of this show, I just now realized we don't have. For being completely honest,
nothing. We got some things in the pipeline. We got some solo bolos. So I'm probably going to do Edge of Eternity.
You just said those words. Bolo. I don't even know what that means. What is it? What, be on the lookout?
No. You're being ridiculous. A solo bolo, as people in the broadcasting business know, is a solo episode, which is one podcaster.
Oh, I have never heard bolo. That term in my life.
Interesting. So definitely going to do one of those. So that's in the pipeline for me personally, just because I'm not going to make you play Edge of Eternity. It's just, don't do it.
I've thought about it, but I have hit my JRPG limit for a little while with Final Fantasy 13. I need a little bit of a break, and because I have to roll right into Final
Fantasy. I'm playing 13. Three JRPGs at a time right now. Like, so. This is my jam. So I'm going to put in way too many hours in a game that I may or may not like. So I'll be putting that out soon.
That's JRPGs. So the two games that I want to check out legitimately, I want to check out the Total Warhammer 3, because I actually like RTS games. I hear this one's pretty good. And I want to check out Skull the Hero Slayer, because that was another one that dropped at the same time as
I didn't want to do that one.
I'm not sure. Like, the trailer looked cool enough, and then I kind of just looked up. I wanted to see reviews, and it had pretty good reviews, but it also kind of, like, something about it looks off to me. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't. It almost looks like it's too much in many ways. So those are the ones that I think I'm just going to check out, but there's just so much happening right now in the gaming sphere. Like, I mean, off of Xbox Game Pass. I mean, Horizon just came out, Elden Ring's coming out, Gran Turismo's coming out. A bunch of stuff is coming out. And I just, not to say that we're not going to play Game Pass games, but legitimately time to play everything is extremely limited right now. And of course, none of these are short games. Like, Horizon's not a 10-hour game, you know. Gran Turismo is not a 100-hour game. That's a 100-year game. So there's just a lot happening. That being said, we will be playing something. I don't know what we're going to be playing yet, but we will be playing Vidya games. And hopefully we're going to find more cool things like Dreamscaper. What I can tell you is that the Final Fantasy 13 episode will be going live sometime in March. We are going to be recording it very soon, as per usual, Christopher, which nobody knows on this show. How can I put this without making him sound like a jerk?
Well, he is a jerk. This is why I don't podcast with him personally.
Right, but I can't say that.
Christopher, you're a jerk.
Right, but I can't. He is difficult to get a hold of.
Hence, a jerk. And they live like down the street from each other. This is right. Ridiculous.
Yeah. So we'll be recording that. And then in the year 2022, we will have three episodes on the Final Fantasy 13 trilogy and the Mass Effect trilogy. I have completed the first two of those. Christopher has not. So we're waiting on him. Don't blame us. Don't at me, bro. At Christopher, who is not on Twitter. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass to Pass. We'll see you next time with a game. We're going to play Madden 22. That is a lie. We're not.
I might play that.
We're going to be playing
actually.
Something.
I'm sorry.
Don't do that. We will see you.
Good day, next sirs. Time.